The Virginia congressional delegation is not pleased with Defense Secretary Robert Gates' call to shut down U.S. Joint Forces Command. That's in Norfolk, Virginia. Republican Congressman Randy Forbes is a member of that delegation. He joins us now in our top of the hour congressional spotlight to discuss his reasons why and how he feels about the other cuts Secretary Gates has proposed. Congressman, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So tell us your feelings about the closure of Joint Forces Command and what it would mean to your district.
Well, obviously it would have a huge impact to all of Virginia, but our biggest concern is what we've seen with this administration, who is supposed to be such a transparent administration and seemingly doing everything under color of night instead of allowing Congress to have any kind of oversight role at all. As you recall, Secretary Gates last year literally issued a gag order to every member of the Pentagon, refusing to allow them to even talk to members of Congress and members of the press about the consequences of the cut that they were making at the Pentagon. Now they come in and they circumvent or attempt to circumvent the BRAC laws, which does two things. First of all, it makes these decisions where you have no light shed on, you can't ask the tough questions about the impact that's there. Secondly, in the last briefings that were given to us by the Secretary's office, they actually said they don't have a clue what the cuts are or whether the savings are or whether there aren't even be any savings. And the third thing is, when you circumvent the law like this, what you do to these localities who worked for so many years to support a command like this is you take away from them all of the many economic benefits that we give to individuals who are going through these huge closures. So we think that the Secretary has done this without all the information. We hope that they'll just take a step back and say, let Congress do its role, and then at the end of things, if you decide to make these cuts, do it, but at least get the facts and information before you do it so hastily.
Clarify something for me, because the Pentagon is saying that this doesn't fall under the BRAC rules, that this isn't impacted by BRAC at all.
Well, that's what the Pentagon is saying. When you read the statute, it is very, very difficult for us to make that determination. Our lawyers, many of whom have worked at the Pentagon doing exactly that role, do not know how they're reaching that conclusion. And again, just in the light of transparency, we asked them just to present us our ruling. Surely, if they have had this legal opinion, and they say they have, we just said, give us your legal opinion that the general counsel wrote so we can see how you're circumventing the law. And as always, they've refused to give it to us for us to be able to even look at and analyze.
Now, have they proposed closing physical facilities on the base or just getting rid of that command?
Well, as you know, that's not the definition of BRAC. BRAC's definition specifically addresses installations, and the definition is pretty clear. It's even leased property wherever you have 300 civilian personnel are authorized to be employed. You don't even have to have that many employed. If you're moving or realigning 1,000 of them or 50%, all of that criteria seem very, very clearly here in this particular situation to be pertinent to us. So that's one of the things that we're going to look at. The other thing that's certainly frightening to us is, you know, in the last 2 years, we've seen the Defense Department has increased its spending by about 16%, but energy's increased 78%, HUD 27%, HHS 24%, the State Department 47%, EPA 42%, International Assistance Programs 110%. And where do you see this administration saying, okay, let's make some major cuts in some of these areas like this, despite the fact that, as you all know, when the independent panel came back and reviewed the Secretary's QDR, they said we were heading for a train wreck, not because we had too much, but because we had too little. That's the kind of thing that we feel if you're going to cut out an entire command, you at least ought to ask some questions out in the spotlight where some people can talk about them and ask questions, because there's a lot of military people who will say that the concept of jointness has saved us hundreds of millions of dollars in years past and will in the future. And one of your stories you just had on was about the rise of Chinese power. If you look at the last exercises the Chinese had with the Soviets, the big weakness they had, according to almost every observer, was jointness. The number one news story in the Chinese communist media on the day that Gates announced the Joint Force Command closing was that closing, indicating the superiority that it would help China achieve because of that.
So when it comes to Joint Forces Command, is what you're looking for simply hearings on Capitol Hill, getting lawmakers involved, or are you looking for them to completely back off? And what are you calling for?
Well, the first thing we're asking them to do is comply with the law. Again, this is an administration that last year, when they had a shipbuilding plan by law just to let Congress know how many ships they were building and where the law required it, they just refused to give it. They had an aviation, and the reason is because they knew at the end of the year it would show the Chinese had more ships in their Navy than we had in our Navy. They were on an upward curve. We were on a downward curve. Law required them to give an aviation plan. Just refused. Law required them to give this China report back in March. They wouldn't do it because they wanted to soften it before they sent it out. In this case, the law requires, and it has reasons it requires, that these decisions be made in the light of day. And part of the reason is so that we don't make huge mistakes that are irrevocable and we can't come back. And the other reason is so that these communities that have served as partners with these commands can at least have some kind of cushion because of the economic benefit. Secretary Gates and this administration has just avoided all of those by waiting until Congress was going in recess. They knew that we'd have a lot of people that would be gone away and wouldn't be able to ask these kind of tough questions. But that's not going to happen. When they come back, they're going to see these kind of attempts to try to get field hearings and other committee hearings so we can just shed some light on this decision.
We're speaking with Congressman J. Randy Forbes, Republican of Virginia. So in some ways, you coincide in your view of what's going on in the military with your fellow Democrats from Virginia. But the larger question of all the defense cuts across the board that are being proposed, and some of them are pretty draconian, you differ. So what will the delegation be able to agree on that it can proceed with as some way of changing what you think that the secretary should not be doing?
Well, first of all, in all the delegation that I've spoken with, both Republican and Democrat, they are incensed at how this administration is doing things without having any transparency on them. They think this is a knee-jerk reaction. You know, where you would normally make this kind of major decision to cut out a whole command would have been either one through a BRAC process or at a minimum through the QDR. They just brought the QDR out 6 months ago. Big question for many of us is, if you're going to shut down an entire command and you knew that you had to do something like this, didn't you begin that analysis a long time back with the predictability of that? And shouldn't you have at least let Congress know that's what you were doing, or shouldn't it have been in the QDR? We think what's really happening here is that the White House, because of these huge increases in every other agency, again, 110% for international assistance programs, when you're having those kind of expenditures, we think this is a situation where the budget for social programs is now determining our defense spending as opposed to our defense needs. That's something that should hit everyone, Republicans and Democrats. And I can only tell you, after we've come off of press conferences on this issue, our Democratic colleagues have come up to us and said, you guys were easier on them than we would have been. So I think you're going to see the Virginia delegation united, but I think you're going to see members of Congress united around the country saying, we can't make these kind of decisions on a knee-jerk reaction, and we can't do them under color of night. If they allow this decision to be made in a closet somewhere with a handful of people and not let Congress have any accountability of it, then every other decision they're going to make on national defense issues are going to be done the same way.
Well, I understand that you're looking for transparency and you're looking to shine some light on how this decision was made and perhaps have hearings on Capitol Hill, that sort of thing. But if you were called before them to defend the existence of JFCOM and joint forces, there are those who argue that it's redundant. So how do you fight that argument? I mean, how do you defend it?
That's a good question. The first thing that I would say to you is that if you go back from 1946, everything on was pushing towards the need for us to get away from our concept of deconfliction in terms of fighting battles and to move towards some kind of jointment. The military fought, just like our agencies fight today, against any type of jointness at all. That's why you had Goldwater-Nichols that came into effect. the Joint Forces Command is the command that not only allows our military to fight with jointness, but if you travel around the world and you talk to our allies, the reason that we can fight with jointness with our allies is because of the Joint Forces Command and the kind of jointness that they have brought about. The other thing the Joint Forces Command does is looks forward to the kinds of wars that we're going to be fighting tomorrow instead of today. If you look at the criticism that the Secretary got in looking at his last QDR, it was just that, that they weren't very forward-looking, that they were looking only at the battles and the wars that they were fighting today. And the exact quote from that panel review, which was independent, was that they were headed for a train wreck. We think that at this time, if ever, we need to be able to maximize our resources and to make sure we're maintaining jointness both within our services and with our allies. It is now. The final thing I'll tell you is that the big criticism our agencies always get, you saw this especially after 9/11, was that our agencies don't know how to talk with each other. They don't have the same communication capability, don't even have the same language that they used between agencies. And that's why oftentimes we can't deal with crisis situations. The military has gone far beyond that, and the reason is, in large measures, because of the Joint Forces Command. If you listen to the Secretary when he's talking about going back to decentralization, that's exactly what we had before Goldwater Nichols, which said we don't need different weapon systems for every service. We don't need a different language for every service. We need to bring it together to this jointness. If he kicks out the Joint Forces Command, we're going back to where we were. And it's short-sighted. It's all because they need dollars short-term to drive some of these social budgets. That's why we want to at least make sure we stop this until we're able to present this evidence, because we think when Congress sees it, they're going to overwhelmingly say, this is not the direction we want the country to go.
Virginia Congressman Randy Forbes, thank you very much for joining us and providing us your insight and point of view on this. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same. We want you to find this entire interview, more information on this, on federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Be sure to tune in at 40 past the hour. Just ahead, for more defense-related news, our DOD report airs weekdays at 40 past the hour.